very urban.
Commissioner!
Life is but a dream to me. I don't wanna wake up
through your years
without having my cake up. So I'm by my paper 24/7, 365, 366 in a leap year. I don't know why we here. Since we gotta be here. Life is but a beat. Went from having shabby clothes, crossing over every road. Hear my angels singing to me. I just hope I'm hearing right. Karma's got me fearing life. Colleague, are you praying for me? See, I got demons in my past, so I got daughters on the way. If the prophecy's correct, then the child should have to pay for the sins of the father. So I barter my tomorrows against my yesterdays and hope that she'll be okay. And when I'm no longer here to shade her face from the glare, I give her my share of Carol's daughter. And I hear my angels. But it's mean to me. Gunshots sing to these other guys, but lullabies don't mean a thing to me. I'm not afraid of crying, I'm afraid of not trying. Every day hit every wave like I'm Hawaiian. I don't surf the net, no, I never been on my space. Too busy letting my voice vibrate, carving out my space. In this world of fly girls, cut ropes and diamond cut ropes, I twirl. Business round corners where the sun don't shine. I let the wheels give a glimpse of hope for one grind. Sunset hope, how you get so fly? I said from not being afraid to fall out the sky. My physical's a shell, so when I say farewell, my soul will find an even higher plane as well. So fly, you shell, so have no fear. Just know that life is but a beast.
I hear my angels.
But if
you may drop it in the
life is for the dream, can't mimic my life. I'm the thinnest cut slice, in the cut, the winner's cup. With winters rough enough to interrupt life. That's why I'm both saint and sinner. Night, this is Jay every day, no compromise. No compass comes with this life of eyes. So to map it out, you must look inside. Your book could guide you, but your heart defines you, chica. The corazón is what brought us home. In great shape like Hadi Clone, Mighty Gone, I am on permanent vacay. Life is but a beach here. Songs like a Hallmark card until you reach here. Till the she's here, and she be clear. I will prepare a blueprint for you to print, a map for you to get back, a guide for your eyes so you won't lose sense. I make a sink for you to think. I ink these verses full of prose so you won't get conned out of 2 cents. My last will of testament, I leave my air, my share Rockefeller records in the shiny new.
I hear my angels.
But if
you may drop it in the dream, I wake up before. Life is just a dream.
Life is but a dream.
Life is just a dream. Wake up before. Life is just a dream.
Life is but a dream.
Life is just a dream.
Thank you.
This is Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. The matrix really is symbolic, again from the movie, very well done, symbolism, lots of allegories in there and analogies, but it's your whole version of reality. And even as you grow older too, you go through different layers of that reality as you change and you find out who you are. It takes a long time for people to find out who they are, and that's called maturity. You mature gradually. And if you can get to maturity, it's only because you analyze yourself and you're honest with yourself and you look over your life and you say, I fell for this and I fell for that. I did the wrong thing here and the wrong thing there. And you realize you've been an idiot at times. And you realize you can't repeat those mistakes because they don't bring anybody any happiness and they're non-productive. And eventually you get some kind of wisdom. And just when you think you've seen the light, you die and that's it. You're gone. And at one time you see the older folk would pass the wisdom on to the younger. And elderly people were referenced in some societies because of their wisdom. It's a pity that they destroyed that in the Western cultures over a period of time. Britain was one of the first countries to try this, because Britain really was run by experimental psychologists and various organizations, very well-funded organizations through the big foundations. It's one big laboratory, in a sense. They were the first group, country to really try of moving people off en masse out of the country into the new slum cities to work the factories for the industrial era. And they did a lot of experimenting with different groups of peoples to see how long they could keep them alive, working in these slave conditions, 16 hours a day, or down the mines, for instance. And they kept incredible records on everything. Britain really is one of the amazing countries for keeping records on all these different peoples that they use, employees going back for a couple of hundred years even. Even the people they used from other countries, when they exported and they brought in Africans to certain countries to populate them and be their workers, initially starting as slaves, and when they did away with slavery, they called them servants or indentured servants, where you sold yourself into a form of bondage for a wage if you worked on an island for a couple of years. The only thing is, it didn't take them back from those islands. And there's been some documentaries recently about how these people have been so shabbily treated. And even kicked off the islands recently, or I should say back in the 60s, to make way for an American base. That was one very good documentary done on that. But they went to the British records, and they had the names and addresses and the ages of birth and the genealogies of every one of these people they brought in from Africa 150 years ago or even beyond. Amazing records. And they have done so many studies on sociology, you might say, and specialized studies on experiments with groups over the centuries, that they've got down to a great art. And what they really do know, and they've always known, is that the great amount of people in any society, even if you're brought into society that was not normal 20, 30, 40 years ago, then those growing up in that society will think it's all quite normal. They'll come into quite normal, and their children definitely will never question it, their offspring. An example of that is the very fact that lots of people moved off their lands, as I say, from the agricultural era and into the cities. They were forced off their lands because the Rothschilds did, if you go into the history books, he was at the House of Lords and he brought forth the Corn Law, which allowed foreign companies, again run by his relatives in France and elsewhere, to dump their produce on Britain. And that put all these small farmers out of business overnight. They couldn't compete. So they moved into the cities as planned and became the slaves for a long, long period of time. And the carnage was awful. The conditions was awful. 20 to a room sometimes you were crammed into in these places. A horror story. Even Benjamin Franklin commented on it. When he went over there, he said there's hundreds of people coming out of factories. One factory he watched was a shoe factory, and he said that not one of the workers had a pair of shoes on them. They couldn't afford the shoes they made. And they're all dirty and living in squalor and rags. That was Great Britain, you know, as it was coming up to the height of its empire. And it was an empire ruled by a few, as was Britain itself, and still is today. And many myths have come out of it. The Great British Idea, and Hollywood did some old stuff about the Great British Empire and how brave it was and all that. But they never really got into the real conditions and the real machinations behind what was going on and who was doing it and why.
Good morning, CKLM listeners. It is the 6th of May, 2010. You are listening to CKLN Radio here on again Thursday, the 6th of May, 2010 on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. That was a clip of Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com from May 3rd, 2010. Which I like to call New Normals from Old British Banksters. Because here on CKLN Rude Awakening on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, for those of you new to the show, for those of you who know, I do try and break down the New World Order, essentially a system pushing for globalization that's run and orchestrated by the wealthiest and most powerful people on the planet who basically are all working together. They're kind of like the mafia, you know, who wants to run a city. You know, they may shoot at each other once in a while, or fairly often. But they still don't want to let most of the people in the city know that the mafia is running things. And they know they make more money working together than they do fighting. So, you know, a lot of times people out there, when they say, you know, how can you advocate the theory of a globalized system of control? You know, the world's too big for that. And it's just, well, if you're the richest people in the world and you can agree to carve it up instead of fight over it, then you can both profit much more, and you can leverage your technology and your resources and your connections. And you might stab each other in the back once in a while, but word will get around, and eventually things will congeal. And as Mr. Alan Watts, A-L-A-N-W-A-T-T from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com suggests, the British were behind a lot of social engineering, a ton of social engineering, and they kind of pioneered a lot of these techniques. Even to this day, many people will tell you that the Tavistock Institute, I believe Tavistock.org, T-A-V-I-S-T-O-C-K, is responsible for much of our socialization. How does this play out? You know, what do they mean? Is this just general good advice? No, it's entire cultural subsets. It's the, you know, punk rock movement, it's the hip hop movement, it's the rock movement, it's the nerds, it's the geeks, it's the jocks, it's the, you know, all these different categorizations are in fact if not entirely created, certainly managed on a regular basis by the elite and the people the elite have working for them, including various intelligence agencies. I'll give you an example from Infowars.com here what this is. Internet police warn against braving austerity, or Internet police. London signs warn against accessing, quote, extremist material. And the extremist is in quotes here, and this is by Steve Watson from PrisonPlanet.com, here courtesy of Infowars.com. I'll break down the article for you. This is from Wednesday, May 5th, 2010. Police signs have begun springing up in internet cafes in London, warning users that they could be reported to the police and face criminal charges if they access, quote, extremist or, quote, offensive or, quote, inappropriate material. The signs, which state that the owners of the premises are actively working with the Metropolitan Police, have drawn criticism due to their vagueness and questionable legality. Quote, downloading or accessing certain material could constitute a criminal offense, unquote, states the bright pink sign pictured below. And I'm seeing this. I'm staring at this picture here, taken by somebody with a little Canon camera or whatever, a little camera, of this sign, which says, it says police notice, and it's in pink, and it says internet policy, and it says the owners of these premises are working with the Metropolitan Police Service to prevent unlawful or offensive material being accessed on the internet. And yet they're making the scope of that something that's undefined and something that, you know, isn't set by precedent, but is set by practice. So how does this relate back to the British bankers and social engineering and everything else? Well, the bottom line is that a ton of information has been released about the powers that be evil. Information that reveals their secret societies, information that reveals their plans, it reveals what they're up to. And since the majority of them are Fabian socialists, you can just look up Fabian socialists. The NDP, one of Canada's political parties, is a member of the International Socialist Group. And so they are part of these giant global meetings and global agendas and global ideas that they are meant to push through our culture. And since there's so much evidence out there about these people, and because the conditions we're getting into here economically, politically, with respect to the way we react to each other, relate to each other, relate to our public services, because there's so many crises going on right now, more people are looking for this info. Here comes the big internet crackdown. So the conspiracies out there, it's pretty open, it's been pretty exposed, and the only place you can find it is either here on CKLN Radio, on a few shows, or in the Toronto Street News, or in Toronto on the internet, or at the Conspiracy Culture Book and DVD Store, Queen of Roncesvalles, and the odd screening here and there and so on. Or at Dundas Square from my colleagues and I at TorontoTruthSeekers.com, among other individuals. But it's sporadic. It's few and far between. There's not a consistent flow of information that decodes what the mainstream media is giving to us. And yet you can find that on the internet. And so you have these social engineers here going for broke. You saw how they treated people in England a couple hundred years ago. And the reason I played that clip from Cutting Through the Matrix show on RBN, on the RBN radio network, is to let you folks out there, you know, get an idea of how we might be treated in the future by the same people. What they've essentially done is they've essentially created a Ponzi scheme where they conned, you know, one-fifth of the population into enslaving the other fifth, or the other four-fifths, economically. Again, we heard of blood diamonds, we wear blood jeans, this is a blood sweatshirt I have on right now, these are blood headphones I'm wearing, this is a blood microphone. Likely anyway, because for the most part it was made by people that were underpaid for their labor, slave labor and so on, in the third world. The people that orchestrated that system have some very interesting plans, and I'm gonna break them down from a fairly mainstream perspective. This is Greg Palast, P-A-L-A-S-T, on the Alex Jones Show, from the 5th of, or the 3rd of May, where he's talking about what's happening in Greece right now, where another article from InfoWars says, you know, Greece is exploding in riots, and there's a deadly Greek bank fire being blamed on the opposition to the bankster takeover, which again may or may not be engineered based on how these people work. But Greg Palast will talk about what's happening in Greece right now, what the plans are for this part of the world, what the IMF and World Bank documents that were secretly revealed in 2002 reveal about their plans and their plans to squeeze countries until they pop economically, which is currently happening to most of the world and, of course, Canada. So, again, Greg Palast and the Alex Jones Show, the Greeks are rioting. Let's at least get hit to this info first.
When they've been manipulated by the bankers because they're tied to the damn euro. Now, I've actually spoken to the father of the euro, the guy that came up with it, Robert Mundell. He was the economist. He's the guy who came up with, by the way, he's also, his other invention besides the euro is supply-side economics, the kind of voodoo economics where, you know, if you cut taxes, the tax revenue goes. So he even told me that the euro, the creation of the euro, was all about not creating a strong Europe, but it was, because he's not European, he's the Canadian-American. It was about making sure that each nation would no longer have control of its own fiscal fate, that they would be stuck competing against each other by reducing services and provided by the government. So in other words, you'd keep cheapening your workforce. And he was very blunt about it. He said, that's the purpose of it. It's not to make Europe stronger. It's to make the nations within Europe impotent. And that was his philosophy.
And that's the same thing with NAFTA and GATT. Ross Perot was right. The race to the bottom, and we got the SPP, North American Union documents, 3 years ago when Judicial Watch sued and got them. And they said they had all these corporate chiefs there at the governmental meeting telling the Secretary of States of Mexico, Canada, and the United States what to do. And they said, we're going to lower the U.S. and Canada to the level of Mexico, just as we've done with the euro, so there's nowhere to run, nowhere to compete, and now we're going to play nations off against each other all over the world, Asia, European Union, North American Union, to basically get all the tax money for bankers as bailouts and take people's pension funds. And now we see Bloomberg reporting that federal regulators are preparing to take at least half of people's pensions in the U.S.
Well, I think that what we're seeing, too, is that, you know, when Obama and Bush came up with the bailout, what they didn't do is what China did. And China, they just said, if we're going to give money to the bank, they've got to re-lend the money. Remember that the, Obama made a claim that he saved the financial system. No, he didn't. He saved the financiers, and he doesn't seem to understand there's a difference between financiers who were bailed out and the financial system. Try to get a loan today. Try to get a mortgage today. You can't. If you're a small business, you can't borrow money today. It's impossible. No one will give you money. There is no credit in the system. That's why we're on our knees, and that's why there is officially still nearly 10% unemployment. Forget the unofficial numbers. And because Obama never saved the financial system whatsoever. They kept them. What you have to have is capital and a capitalist system. And the money went to the banks and never came out. They swallowed it and it was gone in bonuses and building up their own capital base. That's the big problem. So whereas China grew 8% last year because they doubled the amount of credit in their economy and so that people could buy up all of the junk that they were going to sell us at Walmart, the Chinese bought it for themselves because they're, you know, the banks, and they're the bankers. If they don't give out the money, they execute them, which is a pretty good system of regulation in my opinion. In some ways, disagree. But, you know, we've pulled cash out of our economy. We have not saved the financial system. We've saved the financiers, and that's a very big difference.
Let me boil that down and see if you agree. Paulson goes in and threatens martial law. I've had the congressman on who witnessed it. He says, there'll be blood in the streets. That's a quote. Everything will collapse if you don't give us access to trillions of dollars in a blank check. October 3rd, it passes. But before that, they wouldn't pass it, so they went. They had the bank heads go out and badmouth the stock market. It went down by a record level. The Congress panicked, passed it, and then October 4th, on that Saturday, Paulson says, we're not going to spend it to unfreeze mortgages. We're not going to tell you where it went. So they had blamed the victims and said it was these people's fault, and I guess in a way it was. They got suckered, but that was only a part of the derivative scheme. And then the money disappeared, and a year and a half later, both administrations, they won't say where the money went. We know they're flush with trillions of dollars of cash. They're lending less money. They've frozen Main Street, destroying Main Street, so they can come back in and buy it up. The same Goldman Sachs people went in and engineered the derivative system. They sold derivatives to Iceland. Now Greece is going under, and they're coming and getting $146 billion from Europe and the U.S. to go pay Goldman Sachs, and Greece will still be in the same situation they were, except now they're ordering Greece to give them at least half their pension fund money.
Yes, and, well, what's also happened, remember that the Federal Reserve has bought one and a quarter trillion of mortgage-backed securities. This is gambles on mortgages. Now, we have 2 million people in foreclosure. That's trillion and a quarter, instead of going to the banks to guarantee their best on these subprime mortgages, could have actually gone to and bought the mortgages, some people at a discount to the banks. That's what Roosevelt did. Roosevelt set up in 33 the Federal Home Loan Bank, and he said he ordered the banks to turn over their mortgages to the Federal Home Loan Bank. The mortgages are reset at a reasonable level. The banks were given, whether they liked it or not, government bonds. Because the mortgage payments were drastically lowered on people because it was not the, you know, usurious rates like we have now in subprime. People were able to pay it back. The housing market rose, and the government actually made billions of dollars on that transaction. But so instead of taking the trillion and a quarter dollars and helping people in trouble with mortgages because they were given these crazy mortgages with 14% interest rates, knocking it down to reasonable interest rates, Instead of doing that, we paid the bankers $1.25 trillion and took the gamble off their hands. The people are still losing their homes.
Okay, when Bloomberg talks about $23.7 trillion 6 months ago and now $28 trillion, that's other ways, I guess, monetizing debt and things that the Federal Reserve has done. But from the numbers I saw, when it got up to $15 trillion, this was mainstream news last year, that would have paid off all of the mortgages in the country, from penthouses down to apartments. That would have paid off all the mortgages and then some.
Yeah, and what we could, and what Roosevelt did in 33 was say, okay, you're going to pay a reasonable fee. They were charging 4%, 5% mortgage. The banks will, because they lost their mortgages, they're going to get these bonds, and that's it. And then it's all guaranteed, and the housing market recovered, and people stopped losing their homes. And when people stop losing their homes, you know, you can't. I was just in 8 Mile, Detroit. I got one guy who's supposed to, he has a $100,000 mortgage from Bank of America Countrywide. Banks are paying 0% interest. Nominally, they're paying 0.25% interest to borrow from the government. And yes, that's what Bank of America pays. If Bank of America's Countrywide unit is charging this guy 14% interest on a mortgage, $100,000 mortgage on a home he couldn't sell tomorrow for $30,000 because there's four foreclosed homes on his street.
And it's all fiat money. So in the limited time we have you here, go back over the IMF World Bank documents that were leaked to you in 2002, your warnings about this coming here, where you see this going, criminal probes of Goldman Sachs, but most of the regulators are former Goldman Sachs, the civil suit, is that just a whitewash? Where is all this going? Because the bankers are saying, let them eat cake. They've set up the euro, as you know, you talked about, one of the top people involved in it, openly admitting to you that it's about cornering countries and imploding them through economic conquest.
That's right. Well, and in fact, let me start with the Goldman. What they've done is they've, instead of saying that the system is rot, the system of creating these securities which are not backed by any assets, and it's basically backed by the taxpayer because if the bet is wrong, we pay. We have $160 trillion of derivative securities. That's a lot more than the Earth produces every year in products worldwide, okay? A heck of a lot. So even a 5% wrong, if it's 5% up, these guys literally make trillions. If it's 5% down, we have to back them up or they implode. That's their statement. What they're doing with this Goldman action on the criminality is that they're going to say, well, a couple of the trades were no good. But it's the old game. They're going to take this one French trader from Goldman, and they're going to hang him out to dry, and a couple of people, and that'll be it. But they're not going to say that the system itself is per se rotten. They're not going to say that subprime mortgages are predatory and on their face illegal. By the way, that's what Elliot Spitzer is about to file a 50-state lawsuit the week that they nailed him for not keeping his zipper up. You know, they had that information for a long, long time. They waited for that moment. So when it gets to the IMF documents, what we're able to get, and the IMF has never denied the authenticity of the documents, nor the World Bank, is that these documents, which are confidential, which you can see in my book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, or Matt, I would go to my website, which I put on BBC television, by the way.
You know? Yeah, give us your website, Greg.
Right. www.gregpalace.com. GregPalace.com. And we did this for BBC. And what we're able to find is that basically you have right in the document, for example, we took the country of Ecuador. That's just one of the countries. Where they said, okay, we're going to squeeze this country and you're going to have riots. And then once we have the riots, then we can take strong measures because obviously then the military can move in. So it was like a planned-in riot. And I spoke to the chief economist, the former chief economist of the World Bank, Joe Stiglitz, who just a couple of years ago, before he got his Nobel Prize. This is not, you know, a fruitcake off-the-wall guy. He's a Nobel Prize-winning economist, head of the World Bank, chief economist of the World Bank. He said, yeah, we used to call that the IMF riot. He said that's kind of built into the process. You squeeze nations like Greece, Ecuador, and by the way, you know, Florida and California until they explode. Okay, and then you have the explosion, and then you can come in third world nations, you come in with the military, suddenly you have the IMF, teams of IMF emergency people come in. No one can object to the austerity measures, as they call them, which is basically everyone's pension funds.
And we're now seeing these headlines that America needs austerity, and we have the IMF head saying they're going to do that here. We have the head of the European Central Bank saying world government of and for and by the banks. Gordon Brown saying global constitution of the banks. So these Ponzi scheme guys create more wealth than actually exists in the world. They buy everything up. Then they implode it and say, now you've got to give us your pension funds or because we're holding a financial gun to your head. But then when you give them the money, they pull the trigger and shoot you in the head, and the whole thing's engineered. Do you see them engineering IMF-style riots here in the U.S.?
I don't think they need to. I think that they're going to, they've obviously gotten a hold of money without it. I mean, we kind of go willingly. These other nations, I've been to places like Ecuador, and they're just more willing to go into the street, you know, and burn cars when they, you know, when they raise the price of cooking oil in Ecuador. The Indians came out of the hills and burnt down the capital. You know, Americans kind of shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's what happens. I mean.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Greg Palast, P-A-L-A-S-T, on the Alex Jones Show from the 3rd of May, 2010. I'll post links to that. You can go to archive.org, and you can certainly download copies there. You can download my work at archive.org. Radio for All has been down for a bit, so sorry about that. Podomatic.com. I want to find a place to collect all these shows in one place that that I like, that I trust, that I can customize shortly. But for now, they are all available at archive.org. .org. You can just do a search for Black Krishna in there, or Black Krishna April or May, to find the shows you're looking for by subject and so on. This one is essentially themed around sort of the attacks on us and the censorship of us. There's a million things to talk about, but there's the attacks on us, there's the censorship of us, and there is the reason that we don't react. And all of these are worth considering. And just so you folks out there know, I'm internet crazy right now. I got the internet. We finally got it at home. I haven't had it at home for about a year. I have used it a fair bit elsewhere, but very, very focused elsewhere. But I did just let my programming take hold of me for about 14 hours straight, mix of good stuff, bad stuff, all sorts of insanity on the internet, as you know, you well know if you're on the internet. But it's amazing. The Tower of Babel is basically being recreated on the internet, where... the world is you know, many different languages, and it's being unified on the internet. Now, when the internet has so many different you know, subgenres of information to look at, and there's so much celebrity stuff out there and trash stuff out there, and there's good stuff and bad stuff and health stuff, and everybody has their own niche they can define of, you know, websites they visit that are uniquely theirs. How is it possible that the internet is, in fact, being used to globally standardize culture? Well, let me give you a couple of things that I noticed on the old internet, which, God love them. I do love the internet, and I'm a huge fan of the internet. But at the same time, you know, the internets are not so heavily promoted and given to us to use by the big governments and corporations of the world, who usually treat people fairly poorly. Necessarily for our benefit, so we should see what the impact of the internet is on us. One thing I noticed, I may have mentioned this briefly at the beginning of the show, is YouTube comments, and on YouTube, you used to have a 5-star rating system where you could individually rate things, and you know, and then they introduced the thumbs up and thumbs down. Now they've gotten rid of the star ratings entirely, and have moved to a purely, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down basis, and then comments that you vote on thumbs up or thumbs down. So, over time, on the world's largest video site, video watching site online, YouTube, they're basically encouraging all of us to aim for the smart or right or best or most politically correct thing to say about any given topic. So, if there's a video on, say, the Tiger Woods scandal, you know, you might say something like, well, you know, it's sad for both of them. You know, he really needs help. And, you know, hopefully she, you know, gets enough money to take care of the kids, you know, something like that. And you'll get a lot of people sympathetically voting thumbs up for that and then not saying anything themselves. And the extremes, and the analysis is being stripped from conversations and dialogue. You'll see message boards where the average post on a message board is now, you know, a sentence, two sentences, three sentences, where people used to write full paragraphs. And this isn't just because I like writing full paragraphs. It's because I'm watching how our tolerance for understanding things is going down, and I'm watching how we're being given more and more options to play than ever, among other reasons. And I'd like to break down an article here from VigilantCitizen.com, an excellent website, Vigilant, V-I-G-I-L-A-N-T, Citizen, C-I-T-I-Z-E-N, VigilantCitizen.com. It's an excellent site for a number of reasons, but it breaks down pop culture beautifully. And when so many people care about pop culture, if you can add something to that conversation that can help define it better, then at least you have an in to have that conversation, and that can lead to people understanding what they normally run into and consume on a regular basis more often. I mean, we can talk about the esoteric stuff till the cows come home, but for most people out there, excuse me, they might listen to you. Sorry about that nasty frog in the throat. They might listen to you, but at the same time, they may also be disinclined to ever think about that again unless something brings it up. However, if you deconstruct our culture, like the photograph taken by the gentleman for the Steve Watson article on what's happening in England, where there's giant pink and white, pink with white lettering, Internet police, we're watching you, don't surf the wrong sites. We're not telling you what they are, but just don't do it. Signs are going up everywhere. Taking pictures of what you see in your culture can help. I know taking pictures of what I've seen in this culture and showing them to people, both people who are conspiracy and people who are not, people find them very interesting, because you don't know how ridiculous those Kudo mobile ads look here in Toronto with giant, you know, goofy, cartoony wrestlers or cartoony stretch-faced humans in 70s sort of or 80s aerobic workout gear. You just don't know how silly that is unless you see it juxtaposed that way. And people who do come to this city will probably see things like that and go, wow, that's crazy. And between that and things like the up escalator safety ads, you know, that advise you how to use an escalator, that are completely insane. The sleeve sneeze ads we had here, things I bring up on a regular basis. These are recurring themes in my mind because I see them so often. And so they help trigger that response. And here at this time where we have to find healthier ways to react to this than blanking out or shying away or changing the subject, it helps to have empowering reactions, including taking pictures of things you see that you don't like or that you think are weird, and then sharing them with others to validate your conclusions, your unique conclusions in this society, your fairly unique conclusions, or at least ones that you came to on your own, as opposed to ones you were given by the media. So, speaking of the media, this is an article called Mind Control Theories and Techniques Used by Mass Media from April 28th. And so I'll skip through here to give you a couple of the elite thinkers here. Mass media are media forms designed to reach the largest audience possible. They include television, movies, radio, newspapers, magazines, books, records, video games, and the Internet. Many studies have been conducted in the past century to measure the effects of mass media on the population in order to discover the best techniques to influence it. From those studies emerged the science of communications, which is used in marketing, public relations, and politics. Mass communication is a necessary tool to ensure the functionality of a large democracy. It is also a necessary tool for dictatorship. It all depends on its usage. And again, everything we have here is great. There's nobody out here that can say necessarily that everything is bad or anything is bad unless it is specifically harming someone else. You know, child, you know, pornography, pedophilia, you know, that sort of thing. Stealing from someone, you know, hurting someone. So things like that. But things that are matters of taste, even fetishism that's based on sort of things that seem immoral, they aren't necessarily bad because it's just how he's raised. It's just we're here, there are things we like. We just have to take some of the time we spend not doing those things to deal with this whole New World Order problem and capture this place, and then take control over our cultural memes, you know, because they're being changed on us. Our cultures are being changed on us. Our cultures are being dehumanized on us. And so if you like television, no problem. just notice how in the last few years it's gone from being fairly innocuous trash to being, you know, really sadistic trash. Shows like Dexter out there, shows that promote all sorts of deviation and weirdness. This is all happening on purpose so that we emulate that and so that we dehumanize each other. And that's not going to create a world that we like. So we can break these things down fairly easily because they're so obvious today. Back to the article here. In the 1958 preface for A Brave New World, Aldous Huxley, the author, paints a rather grim portrait of society. He believes it is controlled by, quote, an impersonal force, unquote, a ruling elite, which manipulates the population using various methods. Quote, impersonal forces over which we have almost no control seem to be pushing us all in the direction of the Brave New World Orwellian nightmare, or Brave New Worldian nightmare, excuse me. And this personal pushing is being consciously accelerated by representatives of commercial and political organizations who have developed a number of new techniques for manipulating in the interest of some minority the thoughts and feelings of the masses. So Huxley was saying about 50 years ago that there was a ruling elite that were using their control of political organizations, businesses, other organizations, media organizations, to control the feelings and thoughts of the public. A couple other people who've done this here according to this article are Walter Lippmann, an American intellectual writer, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. He compared the masses to, quote, a great beast and, quote, a bewildered herd that need to be guided by the governing class. He described the ruling elite as, quote, a specialized class whose interests reach beyond the locality, unquote. The class is composed of experts, specialists, and bureaucrats. And if you look at our world today, and this is Walter Lippmann writing, his book Public Opinion was published in 1922, so this is him writing about 100 years ago. Experts, specialists, and bureaucrats. If you look out there, and if you try to talk to somebody about you know, various things today, they will have gotten an opinion from someone already that they will often be prepared to defend, even if yours is cross-referenced. So if you've looked into 10 experts on the issue of, say, vaccines, that's pretty good due diligence. If they've heard one, because that's still an expert, it's entirely possible that they will want to maintain their faith in that authority figure. And that's the world that's been created. But I personally don't believe in arguments that appeal to authority, because authority's been proven way too corrupt. So there's simply no reason for it. But beyond reaction, we do need solutions. And so if you do keep little pieces of paper on you, flyers, for example, you know, little 4 to a page, 6 to a page, 10 to a page, there's a bunch of templates and examples that you can use up at the TorontoTruthSeekers.com meetup site. Go to TorontoTruthSeekers.com, go to the meetup, and go to the file section to get templates that you can customize for your own needs. But if you keep these little pieces of paper on you, in today's world, people are way too intimidated to argue with you. So if you bring up the vaccines issue like it's just something you want to scrap about and something that you're smarter than someone else about, then it's entirely possible they could reject that. However, if you say, look, this is way too important for me to make this an ego issue, so I don't do that with anybody. I printed these, you know, for 20, I could print 6,000 10 to a page flyers, $20, about $20-$25, including cuts at Kinko's and 3 cents a copy for 8.5 by 11 page in black and white. And, but whatever, I printed a few of these. And the bottom line is that I keep some on me. And so if this issue ever comes up, I just hand this to someone and say, look, you're obviously open-minded enough to discuss this, which means there's some interest level. Check this stuff out. Check out VRAN.org, VRAN.org, to understand what the whole deal is with the vaccine issue. And understand that you can get legal Canadian exemption forms there. Because there are people out there, there will be some frustration out there that we need to tap into, and it is being co-opted by, of course, the New World Order and their various well-funded institutions. You'll have things like the Resistance Online as a TV show of people just acting free and silly, or you'll have movies like dance movies talking about revolution, how one dance can change the world, and things like this. I watched some of this on the internet yesterday, some of these trailers, what are the really popular things people are looking at. And they're going to sell us resistance and revolution and freedom as total escapism, total silliness, and we can do better than that. But on that note, I'm going to break down a short clip here from the Alex Jones radio show again. This is Congressman James Traficant, a noble congressman who was railroaded by the justice system in America, served about 7 years in jail, has recently come out, and he's back to scrapping with the U.S. government again, and of course, the world government, international powers that be evil. They're talking about the demonization of people like myself and people like the Tea Parties in the U.S., people like Mr. Jones, Traficant, and others who are speaking truth to power by the media, which again spills over to the public, which is the reason we need to counteract that. And I'll have more on that happening in Canada after this.
This is out of hand. We need a mechanism. We need a mechanism, Alex. We need a mechanism where the FBI and the Justice Department can be, in fact, tried. One of my last bills was the Fair Justice Act. The president would nominate, the Senate would confirm for a 10-year term. The director of the Fair Justice Agency would have only one duty, Alex, and that would be to investigate and prosecute crimes within the Justice Department. My God, we got a police state coming at us. We've got a government that we're basically economic slaves here, and no one's really looking at it seriously. That's why I'm giving you credit. You're going out on a limb. And I remember telling Connie Chung about Pan Am 103, be very careful how you handle Pan Am 103. And she did an hour special on the report, confidential report I got. And all I want to say is this, a couple weeks later, she was never seen on TV again. Now, you are a very courageous guy, and I've been following you. And I know that there are many people in the government that are very upset because you are educating the American people. And American people have been dumbed down through a mainstream media that has, in fact, aided and abetted this government. I don't understand why.
Jim Traficant's our guest. Congressman, I don't want to talk about myself, but I am in the middle of this, and I want to ask your advice. The ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, in the last 6 months or so have put out multiple reports apiece. They're now even saying Ron Paul is a terrorist enabler. They're saying Judge Napolitano is an extremist terrorist enabler. The MIAC Homeland Security reports that law enforcement sent us over a year ago say that gun owners, conservatives, returning veterans, I'm sure you've seen that in the news. Now we've gotten Army documents, and we've confirmed that they're following us around in the Fed rallies. We've confirmed that in these briefings for the military, they project my photo up and like I'm the kingpin or the godfather and say that I want cops to die and that I want the military. Just all lies. And the national news, Nightline, you name it, have been down here, CNN. I mean, the list goes on and on. And they keep saying on the news, and George Soros' outfit keeps saying, I'm calling for violence, when it's the opposite. What does that sound like to you? I mean, are they really getting ready to set me up?
It sounds to me as if you're a great American and you're making touch and contact with the average American and they don't like it. Let me just say this, Alex. There's no doubt that you're doing that. Now, here's what you have to be concerned about, that any technicality could be brought against you, and my God, they can be very vicious. But let me say this. I think this is a badge of honor. My name was mentioned one time in an IRS review that said the American people shouldn't listen to Congressman Jim Traficant. He's just anti-government. And that was one of the biggest compliments I ever received. And I think this is a compliment to you because I think it shows you as a leader. Now, the downside is I don't like what they're doing to this Tea Party. These are average American people. They don't want to blow anything up, and they're not going out there and acting violently. And Alex Jones is not recommending that anybody go out and cause any violence, revolution in this country. And anybody with a bright mind and a reasonable mind understands that. But what they're trying to do is stop this movement. And the reason for it is very simple. The American people are fed up, and they should be. They should be fed up. And I think what you're doing is you're articulating the reasons why they're fed up. The problem with the Tea Party to a degree is they're so upset, but they don't really understand the total dimension of why they're upset. And number one, they're just opposing rather than advocating as well. But I think they're starting to evolve now, Alex, with leadership that they're hearing from individuals like yourself and from commentary made by you and some others, that they're starting to look and say, look, here's what we've got to do now. Here's what must be done in the country. And I think what we have underway is a powerful political revolution taking place in the United States of America, and I believe the powers that be are trying to stop it.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Congressman James Traficant on the Alex Jones show from the, this was from the 4th, no, this was from April 30th, 2010. I wanted to play that clip just because there are a lot of things happening with respect to this, and people out there do need to show, they do need to support. We're not really right now in danger, most of us, of any serious physical violent confrontation. As in, you won't be arrested by the police, you won't be arrested by the RCMP or the FBI, since they're allowed to work here now and so on. That's not really a huge threat for people out there who are considering breaking some of this stuff down and sharing a bit of info about it. But then again, there are things that do happen here in Canada. Now, we have to make a choice when we hear about these things. Is it going to make us more active to stop stuff like this from getting worse or ever happening again? Or are we going to be cowed by this type of information? And while Mr. Jones at Infowars.com is talking about his demonization, we have Mr. Dan Dix and Brian Law from PressForTruth.ca, and an article from PressForTruth.ca that was just written by Dan Dix. I'm going to read this article for you just to break down what's happening here in Canada with respect to our press who are pressing for truth and what happens when they do. Press for Truth arrested while reporting on the G20 summit, written by Dan Dix. On Sunday, May 2nd, I went to four different locations to report on the upcoming G20 summit, along with PFT members Brian Law and Steve Davies. We visited the Metro Toronto Convention Center, the site of the summit, Trinity Bellwoods Park, the designated free speech zone, the Toronto Film Studios, temporary holding facility for arrests made during the G20, and also the Financial District. And there is a video here at pressfortruth.ca on YouTube. While shooting footage of our report in the Financial District, cameraman and PFT reporter Brian Law was approached by private security, who asked for his ID, even though Brian was on a public sidewalk and was doing nothing illegal. When Brian refused to submit his identification, Toronto police were called and Brian was placed under arrest and illegally searched and detained under the pretext of, quote, heightened security due to the upcoming G20 summit, unquote. Under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, we have freedom of the press, section 2, freedom from arbitrary detainment, section 9, and rights from unreasonable search and seizure, section 8, all of which were violated by the Toronto Police Force. We live in a country where you do not have to submit your identification to police when you have done nothing illegal. In countries like China and Colombia, you must submit your papers upon request, but this is Canada, and we are protected under the Canadian Constitution against tyrannical tactics of fear and submission, or at least I thought we were. Press for Truth will be taking this matter to court because we feel that if it can happen to us, then it can happen to anyone, and our rights must be upheld regardless of the fact the G20 summit is coming to town. The erosion of our freedoms is often achieved incrementally, so we must oppose these changes at every step of the way. At the town hall meeting for the G20 summit, we questioned Constable George Tucker, who is in charge of the Toronto Police Unit and is working with the Integrated Security Unit, which is an amalgamation of the RCMP, OPP, Toronto Police Service, Military, and CSIS. PFT reporter Steve Davis asked Constable Tucker if, in the case of an abuse of authority by one of the many private security firms who will be present at the G20 summit, who will hold them accountable. Constable Tucker assured us that private security will not have the same powers as the police, and if the situation were to arise, he stated on the record that the offending firm will be held accountable. And that is brilliant stuff. And I spoke with Dan about this, and I played an interview I did with Dan about his reporting on his and Brian Laws, or Steve Davies rather, reporting on the terror drills that were taking place at CIBC's Commerce Court, where they got some great footage of a bunch of guys dressed in SWAT gear running around a mall in the underground Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on April 18th. And the Globe and Mail covered it, and CTV was there as well. And late, they got there a little bit late. But the bottom line is, you can see the rest of this article at pressfortruth.ca. But by asking questions, like before private security gets here, 1,000 private security forces, the kind like Blackwater, who shot up people in New Orleans and are shooting up people in Iraq, Afghanistan, before they get here, and they're lawless, they were lawless in those areas, they could be lawless here, before they get there, let's ask our authorities some hard questions and get some commitments from them on how this event's going to be run. So you can go to pressfortruth.ca for more on that. There is a meeting right now taking place in Quebec, and it says here, Canada to oppose the right of countries to label GM foods. This is from thegreenpages.ca from May 3rd. Ottawa, Montreal, and Quebec, April 30th. A large coalition of consumer, farmer, and environmental groups are calling on Federal Minister of Health Leona Aglukkaq to stop aligning Canada's positions with those of the U.S. at international negotiations on GM food labeling. That's right, the Obama administration is pushing to not label GMO foods, to deny our right to know what's GMO and not. So we definitely have to look into that. There are many great groups in Canada working on this. And Canadians for Health Freedom is one. HealthFreedomUSA.org is a great group. Rima LeBeau is at this event, and she's reporting live from there. But I'm out of here soon, folks. Mr. Bill Watts is going to take you for a four-hour trip, a jazz bungee experience you will not forget. Quick look at the metro here. Youth would not follow in war vets' footsteps as a poll. This is the Second World War, and that's interesting. They juxtapose that because when they use the Second World War, then it'll make us all feel guilty, and then we'll feel like fighting wars now because, you know, we should have fought the Nazis back then. Nifty, nifty stuff. This poll was commissioned and plastered on the cover of the Star. Draws Mike McCoy on the cover, Blue Jays player, throwing a ball towards us. Again, we're being taught to play, but the way the New World Order is playing with our minds today and with our bank accounts and health and so on are things we got to pay attention to. To do that effectively, do check out Infowars.com. Amazing stuff there, including what's happening in Greece. As Mr. Palace, Greg Palace, said on the Jones Show, they're rioting there over what the IMF is doing to them. Let's try and stop the IMF from doing stuff to us before we feel like rioting. So Infowars.com is a great bet. Naturalnews.com just talked about a recall of Tylenol kids medicine. If you want the best health news out there on a regular basis, go to Naturalnews.com. Amazing stuff from Mike Adams. I'm going to share some more of his work next week. Also TrendsResearch.com, TheInternationalForecast.com, great wealth sites. In Toronto, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, up to almost 360 members right now, and still growing fast before the G20. Let's get active, folks. Let's get out there. Let's get the guys especially involved in this. It's heavy stuff. But as a man, you should feel more naturally inclined to man up for things like this. And if you're a woman out there and you can scrap, God bless you. There's some phenomenal women in the anti-New World Order movement, anti-globalization, anti-groups taking away our freedoms. And so never, ever stop or stand in anyone's way. But on behalf of women, children, and the elderly, the pressure, I think at least, should be on guys. And as your host Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN, I will periodically advocate that position. So TorontoTruthSeekers.com, a great place to go to find some info, meet some folks, and hit the streets, especially every Saturday at Dundas Square. Other great sites, PressForTruth.ca, look into what they're up to, because they're finding out what the powers that be are up to in our country, and getting us info to get us to do something about it, so we can make sure that they don't mess with us too much, just because a bunch of criminal foreign diplomats are showing up at the end of June. ConspiracyCulture.com, great book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Toronto Street News, great paper out there for the homeless. And so do support them by dishing to them. I'm going to leave you with a track, The Recession, from Young Jeezy, from 2008, the summer of 2008, where he broke down a bit of what he thought would happen with the recession. He says, "It's a recession, everybody broke, so I just came back to give everybody hope." And we should all feel like we can give each other hope at this time in history when things are looking uncertain and we're being taught to play and we feel a desire to play more today than ever because things are so uncertain. Let's get out of this feedback loop. It's a bit of a mess. Peace out, everybody. It's been a great May 6, 2010. Have a great day. Buy me some more time. Ain't nobody got it. I need to buy me a new.